So this morning, Leonard and I give you all a warm welcome. Thank you for coming today. And we're finishing up our sermon series on Made New, because the resurrection changes everything. Somebody say amen. So the first week, we learn that it's our faith in Jesus that makes us new and transforms us into the people that God designed for us to be. And we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was buried and he rose again. And that is the key. Our Savior, he rose again. And we believe in that resurrection power. Give the Lord a praise. Yes, he's worthy of all our praise. 2 weeks ago, we talked about, because of the grace of God and that resurrection power, we can move beyond our past. It's wonderful to move past your past. Amen? And then last week, we taught about becoming a member of the family of God. When you're born again by the Spirit of God, you're born again by your Heavenly Father. Each one of us were birthed the same way. Hallelujah. So we all have the same Father, and we're all in the same family. And for this week, our final week, we are going to share about how his by putting our faith into action and serving the world, we show the world God's love. So it's faith in action. Someone say faith in action. All right. Let's pray over this word. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that you have called us to have faith in action. And Lord, I just thank you for the revelation and understanding, Lord, of how we can do that, how we can apply this word to our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hebrews 12:2, let's read it together, please. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are so thankful that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and he has ascended on high. He put his blood on the mercy seat, and his blood cries out for each one of us every day. It cries out for mercy. We thank God for that. Otherwise, we would have no hope. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We thank God that we are new creations. Amen. All of those who have been born again by the Spirit of God is a new creation. And when you get baptized, water baptized, it's an outward manifestation of what God has done on the inside of you. And it is a wonderful feeling to get buried in the water. Hallelujah. And to know that our past is behind us and we arise a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you know, Leonard and I, we've been baptized more than once because at different seasons in our life, we sense that that's what the Lord wanted us to do. And so when we were ordained by Christian International, we got baptized in the ocean. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's a wonderful thing to have a fresh start and a new beginning. And you know, we get that every morning. God's mercy is new every morning. Every morning we have a fresh start and a new beginning. If you woke up this morning breathing, praise God. Hallelujah. Harold always says it's better than being 6 foot under. That's right. Brother Harold. So putting our faith into action. I don't know if this story will help. I hope it helps, but I was thinking about what is a way to put our faith in action. Because at some point, everyone has to make a decision in their lives to put their faith in someone or something. And I thought about taking it out of the spiritual realm. I thought about going to the dentist. Does anyone look forward to going to the dentist? For me, it's kind of a love-hate relationship with dental appointments. You want to go because you want to get the work done because your mouth is in pain and you want it to go away. But then there's the thought of them doing the work. And so I've had some bad experiences with dental work when I was younger. And when I was thinking about that today, I thought, well, you know, everyone that's younger in this building ought to thank God that the dentist experimented on us with their equipment and their techniques to get us to where we are today. Because going to the dentist today is nothing like going to the dentist 25, 30 years ago. Can somebody say amen? But I met Dr. Elizabeth when I was in 1996 when we planted the river downtown. And the reason I had gone to her, she had come highly recommended, and actually I went to her to get rid of those silver fillings that I had in my mouth. Remember, they put silver fillings in your mouth, and then they found out that there was mercury in them and you needed to get them out of your mouth. Okay. So anyway, that's how I met Dr. Elizabeth. But you know what? One thing about her was she knew what she was doing. And she sensed that I was really tense sitting in her chair from past experiences. And she said to me, she said, Janet, you have to have faith that I know what I'm doing. And if you have faith that I know what I'm doing, then you can trust me. You don't know what I'm going to do because you've never done this before. But I've done this a whole bunch of times. And so have faith in me. And you know, I made that decision to put my faith into action and to trust Dr. Elizabeth to work on my mouth. And that was back in 1996, and she's still my dentist today, and I've followed her several places because of the work that she does and the comfort that she brings when you're sitting in her chair. And I told her, I said, you know, I really think people pray harder in the dentist office than they pray in the church. She goes, oh, I never thought of that. I said, well, I do a whole lot of praying sitting here. I trust you, but, you know, I trust the Lord God Almighty to use you as an instrument to help me and not to harm me. And, you know, that's what happens in our life. When we can rest in God and we can put our faith in God, we come to that place where we know God is going to help us and He is not going to harm us. That's where our confidence needs to come to for us to put our faith in action. Having faith in the resurrection power of Jesus means that we trust Him to lead us and guide us every day. It means that we trust Him that He's going to come through on His promises that He left with us. And it means that He will accomplish everything that He has set out to do. He began a good work in you. Tell your neighbor, God began a good work in me. And tell them, and He's going to complete it. We all know that we cannot do it on our own, but so often we want to go by what we can see and by what we know and the knowledge that we have rather than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's an important step that underlies all the acts of faith, and that is faith requires action. And so we're going to go on with a story in Luke chapter 7, and it's the story of the centurion, and we're going to read through that. Now when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. So in this passage, Jesus is entering a town called Capernaum, And there's this Roman centurion who hears about his arrival and he wants to find him. And at that point in time, the Romans were the ruling power in Israel. And this centurion would have been part of this occupying force. And he was a Gentile. He had no Jewish heritage, yet he comes to Jesus out of desperation because his highly valued servant was sick and dying. And the centurion sent Jewish elders to Jesus to plead on his behalf to come and heal his servant. And so the centurion must have heard stories about Jesus' miraculous powers and the miracle healings that took place in his ministry. And he must have believed that Jesus was his only hope. Thank you, Lord. And Jesus, like him, he loved everyone, whether Gentile or Jews. It didn't matter to him. Like this centurion, he wanted Jesus to help him, even though Jesus was a Jew. And Jesus was no respecter of person. The centurion was part of the ruling force in the town that day, but it made no difference to Jesus because Jesus loves everyone and wants to help everyone. And it's important for us to recognize that Jesus is our only hope for healing. There is modern medication and doctors, and we are so thankful for them. But nothing will help if the Lord God Almighty doesn't touch us and heal us and restore us. Is that right? He is the great physician, and we are so thankful for his tools and instruments that he uses in our lives to help us to be restored back to health. At the same time, we know that it isn't that person. We don't set them up as an idol. We don't idolize the doctors. We thank God that they have been willing servants. They are servants to serve us. And they make great sacrifices to do what they do. And we appreciate that. But once again, all the glory goes to God. Our hope is in Him. We can have the best care in this world, but we need the care of the Lord God Almighty. Somebody say amen. So we put our life into Jesus' hands. And sometimes when we put our life into Jesus' hands, it really feels like a leap of faith. But we trust that Jesus can catch us. Someone say amen to that. And I read a story about a house that caught on fire. And there was no place for this little boy to go but up to the roof. And so the little boy went up to the roof, but the rest of his family, they were on the main floor, and they ran out on the main floor outside. And so the little boy was on top of the roof, and he was crying, and he was so scared. And his dad kept telling him, jump, just jump, and I'll catch you. And the little boy, he was looking down, and he could see the flames, and he could see the smoke, and he could not see anybody, but he could just hear his dad keep saying, jump, and I'll catch you, jump, and I'll catch you. And the little boy yelled down, but Daddy, I can't see you. And he said, it's okay, I can see you, just jump. And the little boy jumped, and his daddy caught him, and he was saved from death. Because there was no way out, and there was no way to get to him except for him to jump. And you know, that's how it is with us, with the Lord. There are times in our life that we cannot see with our own eyes. We do not have the knowledge and the understanding to know what to do. But we do know if we put our faith into action and we take a step, a leap of faith, the Lord God Almighty is going to meet us because He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. He promised us that He would take care of all of our needs. He promised us. And so we stand together at River of Life upon the promises of God and believe our God is able to do anything exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think. Our God is able when we step out in faith and we trust in the Lord God Almighty. It is not us, but it is the Lord, and we trust Him to move in us and through us. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Because true faith believes that God can do anything. Let's read on in Luke, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes to my servant. Do this, and he does it. Verses 9 and 10. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. So the message brought to Jesus is that he does not even need to enter into the house. The centurion had such faith that the Lord would perform this miracle. In humility, it was in humility, the centurion, even though he was part of the ruling force, and even though he had authority and servants underneath him, he was a humble man, and he recognized the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I am not even worthy to have you come into my house. But he said, I know if you'll just send the word, my servant will be healed. And he was. Jesus is sending the word this morning. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Rise up and be healed. Have confidence in what Jesus can do. Because there is nothing outside of the scope of the Lord's power. Nothing. So, Lord, break off the limitations and the hesitation and the obstacles, Lord, that are in our minds that we carry in our souls. Break them off, Lord, when it comes to understanding the scope of your power and your desire to heal and restore. True faith believes that Jesus can do anything. And if we have faith that Jesus can do anything, then it changes our approach to everything. When our marriage begins to struggle, we go straight to Jesus and ask him to help our relationship, to change whatever needs to change in us so that our relationship can be healed. And when we have an addiction, when we have bad habits, and we continually struggle, we go straight to Jesus and we ask Jesus to give us victory over these sins, over these habits and these addictions. And when we find our place and ourselves in a place of darkness and depression and despair, we can go straight to Jesus Christ and ask him to speak a word of light. His word is light. His word is light. And when light goes into darkness, darkness has to go in the name of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus can do anything? Give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. The centurion did. And he trusted that Jesus had the authority to make the difference. And let that sink into your heart, into your soul. Jesus has the authority to make the difference. Thank you, Lord. We yield and submit to his authority because he has authority over all things. And so we yield our will to him. And when we cry out to him, he is a very present help in time of trouble, the scripture says. And there's plenty of trouble in our lives. There's plenty of trouble that comes our way. But the Lord God is a very present help in time of trouble when you cry out to him. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I read a story, and I'm going to read it to you. It shows how putting faith into action. In 1893, engineer George Ferris built a machine that bears his name today, the Ferris wheel. Who's ridden on a Ferris wheel? I think everybody's ridden on a Ferris wheel in their lifetime. When it was finished, He invited a newspaper reporter to accompany him and his wife for the inaugural ride. It was a very windy July day. So a stiff breeze struck the wheel with great force as it slowly began its rotation. Despite the wind, the wheel turned flawlessly. After one revolution, Ferris called for the machine to be stopped so that he and his wife and the reporter could step out. In braving the one revolution on the wind-blown Ferris wheel, each occupant demonstrated genuine faith. Mr. Ferris began with the scientific knowledge that the machine would work and that it would be safe. And Mrs. Ferris and the reporter believed the machine would work on the basis of what the inventor had said. But only after the ride could it be said of all three that they had personal, experiential faith. So living a life of faith means that we trust in the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. He created us and set all of our life in motion. And despite the wind and all of the troubles of life that come our way, we trust that we can rest securely in him. It's like Patty's testimony this morning. She has put her trust and confidence in the Lord God Almighty and has been in covenant with him. And he has not failed her and has not let her down. Because our God is faithful. And he knows what we have need of before we even ask. And you know what? Jesus was amazed at the confidence that the centurion had in his power. He was amazed at it. And the Bible even records it. He was a Gentile centurion. And he displayed a kind of faith that Jesus said he had not seen in Israel. Because of his trust in the authority and the scope of power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that same power today. If that same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will quicken, it will make alive your mortal body. Hallelujah. It's the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ that changes everything. Tell your neighbor, God's power changes everything. And tell him, I believe it. True faith joins God in serving the world. And this is the last part of the message. True faith is not just believing that Jesus can do something in our lives. It is also believing that Jesus can do something through our lives. And so the book of James talks a lot about this active faith. And many of you have probably heard the saying, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Who's heard that before? That's what the main translations say. Faith without works is dead. And we're going to read it from the Message Bible. It gives it a clearer meaning on it. And it says this, dear friends, do you think you'll get anywhere in this if you learn all the right words but never do anything? Does merely talking about faith indicate that a person really has it? For instance, you come upon an old friend dressed in rags and half starved and say, good morning, friend, be clothed with Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And walk off without providing so much as a coat or a cup of soup. Where does that get you? Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense? Faith without works is dead. Do you think you're going to get anywhere just by saying all the right words and not doing anything? The example that was given is seeing a need around us and doing nothing to help meet that need. Isn't it obvious that God talk without God acts is outrageous nonsense. So the world around us is in need of people full of faith. Are you a people full of faith? Full of faith. People like the centurion who believe that all Jesus needs to do is speak a word. Speak a word and it'll be done. And the world needs people whose faith leads them to reach out in concern and service to others. We are made new by the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, but not just for our own benefit. And this is what the message is about, our faith in action, what we have received, freely we have received, and freely we give. We put our faith into action for those who are broken and in need around us. Our faith plays out in generosity. Our faith plays out in our service. Our faith plays out in our sacrifices. Faith and works are really like the 2 feet of any person walking out our journey with Christ. It's like the left foot of faith and the right foot of works, and the left foot of faith and the right foot of works. And William Booth said, pretty soon you cannot distinguish one from the other because it's a constant walk of having faith and of doing work in the name of Jesus, because faith without works is dead. So this coming week, keep your eyes open for opportunities to serve people around you with faith. Be bold in your faith with actions that would honor Jesus, would honor the Lord. And in conclusion, as we wrap up today, we're going to take just a moment to reflect upon the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the miracle of his resurrection. We sang about it this morning. The empty tomb is a reminder that the fullness of our life can be found in Jesus Christ. The life of a disciple of Jesus Christ is never empty. It is an empowered life. It is an exciting life, and even at times it can be a dangerous life. So this morning I'm asking you this question. How can you move beyond your past and take your rightful place at the King's table? And I just sensed as I was preparing this message that there are people that still don't feel like they're really seated at the table. And maybe there are some here today that haven't taken that seat yet, that haven't asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You're just in the beginning stages. But God wants you to take a seat at his table. He prepares a table for us. He has prepared a table for us. I remember I had a vision a few years back, and it was like the Holy Spirit was passing these big bowls of different kinds of fruit and different kinds of dishes that he was passing as we were sitting here together. God prepares a feast for us. Take your seat at the table. You belong at the table. And so many times we feel like we don't belong, and we convince ourselves in our head, oh, we don't belong. You belong. Tell your neighbor you belong. You belong. Take your seat at the table. We're family. I love having a big table. Leonard added on a dining room for me so that we could have a long table, and some of you have seen pictures of it, so that everybody can be at the table. When I'm at one end and Javen and Zion are at the other end, it's like, you know, they look pretty small when you take a picture. It's a long table. Hallelujah. But I love everyone to have a seat at the table. And that's God's too. I love the way our auditorium is designed so that we can all sit at the table. You can see. I like to see at the table. You like to see all those little faces, right? Moms and dads, when you got your family around. You like to sit at the table and see everybody. And so there's always room at the table. At River of Life, there should always be room for one more at the table. Doesn't matter where they came from. Doesn't matter, like Jesus. It didn't matter if he was a centurion, if he was a soldier, or that he was a Gentile. Jesus says, there's room at the table. There's room at the table for you and your servant. I want you to pull up a seat. God has so much for us, church, that he wants to give us as we come to his table. And this morning I really felt that we needed to pray for those that are believing for a healing. Jesus is sending his word this morning. And I'm calling the elders to come forward and those that are on our healing prayer team. We're going to pray for you if you are in need of a healing this morning. Don't hesitate to come. And as we pray, I'm just going to ask Jeff to play a little bit of music while we're praying. And then we'll have our closing song. So don't leave. As people are being served this morning, it is so important that we come to the table. That as people are being served and prayed for, it is so important that you are sitting in your seat praying for them. Church, we're in this together. We are believing for healing and restoration of lives today. Lives are on the line. It's like the centurion. His servant's life was on the line. He needed a word sent to him to be healed. And this morning, if you have a need, I just want you to stand and come. There are many elders. There's 1, 2, 3 teams up here. There's three areas to come to. So we're just going to wait. Do you believe Jesus can do anything?